You're listening to Mike and Kristen,
the podcast.
I'm Mike, a musician, writer, and producer.
And I'm Kristen, a painter, writer, and designer.
Our show is all about following dreams, taking chances, and what life as an artist is really about.
Together, we bring you weekly guest interviews and thought-provoking conversations.
Let's go! Hello, everybody. We are here for an amazing episode, a very special episode, because we have an amazing guest coming to talk to us, to interview us. A unique episode of Mike and Kristen, the podcast.
We asked our dear friend Nancy Regan if she would be willing to come in and turn the tables and interview us. Actually, maybe this was Nancy's idea, where she asked if she could come in and enter this space in that capacity, but it's in recognition of year three, the kickoff of year three of our podcast.
2 years. Do you know how many weeks that is?
Well, you've just reminded me that episode 104 is the proper math for year three.
We're good at math. 52 yeah. plus 52.
I clearly am not, but we were very lucky to have Nancy come in. She's clearly a pro at interviewing, and I think it's a good example of how people we've had on the podcast in the last couple of years have really impacted our lives. For her to come back and play this role for us and to be comfortable talking with her through all of these stories is a testament to this community we've created.
Yeah, we've learned a lot from her and just how to conduct yourself in the world and just be a good person. And her book is something that I think a lot of people can really learn a lot from. And she's also one of the sponsors of the podcast.
She's right our now. Current sponsor. Yeah. So you're going to hear a lot of Nancy today, you lucky little ones out there.
The more Nancy, the better.
Her book, From Showing Off to Showing Up, has such universal themes throughout that regardless of your background, you're going to find yourself in these pages, I think. And so we have, even in this discussion, found relatable themes from her book and her background that we feel connected to now.
Yeah, she's such a pro, and she's such a people in Nova Scotia all know who Nancy is and really respect her. And it's amazing that she's come into our life in this way. And this is, like you said, all from us hosting this podcast. We have people like her and all the guests who become friends. We have all these people in our life now.
And Nancy's book has inspired this week's quote for our Thoughts and Things segment. So cue the music.
Thoughts and things, thoughts and things, thoughts and things, thoughts and things.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so we have selected a quote by Michelle Obama, and it reads, "If you don't get out there and define yourself, you'll be quickly and inaccurately defined by others."
Nice.
I thought this was such a great quote to summarize the conversation we had with Nancy and a lot of what she writes about in terms of what would the neighbors think and imposter syndrome in her book, and how often society and culture determines the road that we're meant to take. And it's not up to others to define our lifestyle. And you and I have followed the unbeaten path since we've met, really. Mm-hmm. And that comes up a lot in this conversation, too. So it felt like a good quote for today.
It sounds like it's just about owning your path. And everyone's on a different path. But you own that. And what can anyone say about it when you take that ownership?
I've been thinking lately about just different people in my life who I admire and how different they are from one another. Mm-hmm. And it's not as though there's one representation of this perfect person. It's the qualities within people that vary that you're drawn to, which I find liberating. It's all the more permission to be yourself. Mm.
Yeah. We've met so many good people on this podcast. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So year three, here we come.
104. So let's jump into this episode with Nancy interviewing us.
Let's go. Woo.
Hey,
So the first time that Nancy came, that we interviewed her as a guest, we were a little bit nervous. We're not. I'm just talking to Mike.
Oh,
so don't feel rushed. Where's Nancy?
I'm being ripped off. Oh, thank you.
But did you feel? And we both agreed that we were nervous.
Yes,
because we hadn't yet met her. But I definitely don't feel that way anymore. But did you feel that way today, knowing that Nancy was coming to interview us?
I was
us
excited
today?
That Nancy was coming. Yeah. That's
so we were out in our kitchen this morning, and I get up earlier than Mike, and I was having my coffee, and he bursts through the door and says, "Nancy's coming today." That was so cute.
Sort of like Santa.
It felt like Santa.
That's who you are to us, Nancy.
Well, I did bring you a few little presents, boys and girls.
Ooh, get out that sack of goodies, huh? And you arrived in your red sleigh.
I did. I arrived in my fancy F-150 Lightning truck. Is that what you call it? Yeah. Obviously, it doesn't really belong to me. It's a stolen truck. It's all electric. It belongs to my husband.
That's electric?
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. It freaks people out when you open the frunk and put groceries in it. Every time I do that, somebody goes like, "What? Where's your engine?"
Yeah.
Where's the engine in that truck? Anyway, so yeah, I was totally against getting it, to tell you the truth, but I did not have any impact on his decision, clearly. And so I drove it out today and felt pretty good about it.
Yeah. How is it in the cold? I heard electric cars are not great when it's really cold.
Yeah, you can drive from Halifax to Sydney in the summer in it, no problem. But you might only make it to Antigonish in the winter. Yeah, not so good. So you better find some chargers.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Are there more being put in throughout the province? Is that a thing?
Slowly,
yeah,
but surely. Yeah. So I had an experience one day. I was driving with my daughter to pick up a piece of amazing folk art that I commissioned before Christmas. You would love this, Mike. It's David, my husband, a version of him. It's based on a picture of him dressed in his full hockey gear holding our daughter when she was a baby.
Nice.
And he's got his Capers jersey on with Graham on the back. And I thought it was going to be 4 feet high, and it's my height. So it takes up some space. You have to get used to it. In the room it's in at our cottage, you have to keep thinking, oh my God, somebody's there. So we were on our way back from there, and it was December, and I could see the kilometers like going down and down and down really quickly. Yeah. And I was thinking, I'm not going to make it. So we stopped in Bridgewater, found this charging place, and I was so psyched. And you had to have some kind of card and account, and it did nothing for me. So anyway, that's enough about that. But yes, I arrived in a red sleigh. Yeah. And would you like your presents before or after?
Ooh.
Let's have them after.
Yeah, just, I think after. Yeah.
This is like one of those psychology tests for kids, you know? Mm. You could have one marshmallow now or two if you wait.
Oh, two if we wait.
Okay,
good. Yes.
Well, two if you wait showcases that you're going to have a much better life. Wasn't that what that experiment proved in the end?
Oh, Mike, you're paying attention.
I listen.
You're going to be more successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have grabbed that friggin' marshmallow.
Were you able to not open your presents under the tree when you were a kid?
No way.
Did you have to peek, rip a little corner and see what was under there?
Oh, yeah. I was a sneaky little devil. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to ruin all of the surprises.
Yeah.
But I would want to, you know, I'd want to know more than I was allowed to know.
Yeah. Just a little inkling. My brother was the one who snooped, but like all bad behavior from one sibling would loop me into it. So if he got caught, then we were both in trouble, or I wouldn't tell. This goes for every party he threw. Yeah, all of those things. Just like, whoa, do you want to come? And now we're both there. It was smart.
He looped you in. I like that. Has he ever done penance for that? Has he ever given you, you know, great quantities of money to make up for it? Or
he's a good brother. He's taken me to Disney before.
Oh, okay, that'll do it.
He's given us Hawkins cheesies when you couldn't get them on the East Coast.
Yes.
Oh, you know what I think about cheesies? I was thinking, how am I going to open this sparkling water without?
You're so smooth,
yeah,
Nancy.
But that's like
You always find a way.
Cheesy's baby.
Such a pro. It's going to be nice just for, we're just going to sit back here and let you guide us through. It's a little bit hard to do this after 2 years of interviewing, to be like, I'll give up control. I promise.
You're in the back seat, baby.
And we're ready.
Okay. Yeah. I've got the steering wheel. So God help you.
I don't know if I'd trust that there.
Yeah, I know.
Here, let's move this.
I need a spot for my, there we go. Okay.
It's from the last.
So let's see if I've got this all the way rewound. Oh, no, I really don't. Mike, I wonder if you can tell me.
I think it was probably uncomfortable.
Wait, get back there. This is an app I'm not used to. We're going to obviously have to.
Okay. I don't know what it is either. I'll just pause it. And do you want right to the very start?
Right to the very start.
Okay.
Okay.
We have no idea what's happening.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Nancy.
Oh, no, even further, I think.
I'm trying, I think. 18 seconds.
No, more.
There's no actual rewind. You kind of just have to push the button.
I know, it's crazy.
That's why she's having you do it.
Can you slide it?
Oh, here we go. I got it. Wait. There we go. We're rewinding.
And don't push play. Is that all the way to the beginning?
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. You ready?
Now I'm nervous.
This is a true Canadian love story.
We were meant to be together.
I can't imagine my life without you.
Honestly, he's the light of my life.
It's nice to be in that tractor beam of love. I'm her biggest fan.
I think I knew I'd lost my heart again.
I knew I wanted a marriage like that.
Difficult roads can lead to very beautiful destinations.
Well, love is the most important thing.
We walked along a beach in Jamaica, just the two of us, found a tree that we thought looked half decent, stood under that with the waves crashing, and said I do. And we read her vows.
We're open to things going awry or things being out of the ordinary. It's really the space that we thrive in.
Hi, I'm Nancy Regan. This week's...
Okay, so... That's one of my favorite openings of the podcast that I host. Mm. And it's partly because, A, I loved it at the time. It just said so much about both of you and your relationship.
Yeah.
But I love it now because you were showing up in that conversation when I first met you in the exact same way you show up now when I see you. And, you know, Kristen and I have spent more time together. We've done a sleepover at the cottage. Yeah. So I feel like I know her better than you, Mike.
Yeah.
But I love the way that you both just are, you know, you seem to be completely at ease in your own skin. And I think that's why your podcast has been such an enormous success, because people resonate with that. You know, when the veneer is stripped away and you're really authentic with others, there is a magnetism about that.
Well, that is very, very kind of you to say, Nancy. And I think at the end of the day, we're just trying to be ourselves and stay true to the values, our core values that we would have been taught growing up. And you know, we grow up in small towns and have hardworking parents and had great supportive families. And I feel like no matter where our lives go, nothing will really change any of that. And we always want to show up as those people who grew up with those supportive people in our lives and really represent what our families and parents did and kind of stay true to that.
Yeah, I love that.
I would say with the podcast too, the more at ease we are, the more of an invitation that is for your guests to share that energy with you. And though that wasn't intentional, like we just found this space of comfort, we often hear from our listeners that it sounds like I'm just sitting in your living room chatting with you guys. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll want to interject and ask a question or make a comment. That's the highest compliment, of just sounding authentic in that way.
And creating a sense of connection. Mm. Because, you know, I'm a big supporter and believer in the work of Brené Brown. And she talks about how human connection is a fundamental need. And so much of what we do in the way we go about our lives is really blocking connection. you know? I'm curious, with both of you, can you remember a time in your lives when you didn't show up as fully as your true self, where you had more of a social mask and you know, were maybe not as comfortable showing your full raw self to the world?
Well, I spent a solid 10 years of my career experiencing that feeling. And although I'm very grateful for that, I've actually made an intentional point not to complain about the opportunity I had in that role, because it really did fill me with so many wonderful networking opportunities and learning experiences. But I was very aware that everything right down to the clothes I would wear every day was not me.
And a persona.
Yeah. I would talk about it as though I was wearing this mask. And what a relief to finally take that off. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while to even figure out who you really are when you've been dressing up for this, quote, dress rehearsal every day.
You just gave me full chills. Mm-hmm. As you know, I call them truth bumps. Mm-hmm. But that is the truest statement. It takes a while to figure out, to peel off all those layers, the facade, and actually figure out who am I? And for me, that same process was about, what is it I don't like about myself that I've been afraid to show to the world? So let's dig into that. And that leads to really hard work of true self-acceptance and accepting it all, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. And this is me. Take me or leave me.
And I find when you're making those transitions, you're often thinking, what can I add to my life? But this process for me was, what can I remove? And that feels a lot more raw. Mm.
I feel like from a fairly young age, I realized that things that I don't like really make me feel not myself. Like if I had to go do something that I wasn't a fan of, I'd feel sick in my stomach, essentially. So that's a pretty good indicator of things that I shouldn't be doing. And the way life is, sometimes you have to do those things just to get by for certain periods of time or whatever it may be. But I was in my second year of university, and I loved school and loved my friends that I made there, and there was nothing I had against being in school, but there was just a big pull to pursue music and to go in that direction. And by the end of my second year in university, I just had a guitar in my room, and I didn't want to study. I just wanted to play guitar. I didn't. And again, I loved what I was studying, but it just felt like every time I sat down, like, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So, and then this summer off my band happened. This is a lot, 20 years ago now, but we had a great summer, and the pull to keep going and to leave school was the same with all of us in the band. We all dropped out of school and pursued music as a career and never really looked back. I definitely had to work jobs I didn't want to at various points in time during that, but there was always this feeling inside of me that pointed me in the direction that I should be going in.
I think of you as a little boy, as you describe having that sick feeling in your stomach if you had to do something. And that's a real demonstration of sensitivity. Mm. And I definitely consider you a sensitive man. Yeah. And I love that about you. But, you know, you think about how little boys, certainly in the past, I hope it's changing, have been discouraged from being sensitive at all. It's like sensitivity is erased from that side of the ledger. Do you sort of value, or are you proud of the fact that you managed to hold on to that sensitivity that is sort of kicked out of a lot of boys?
Well, I think it definitely benefits me in my creative process. Like, to write a song that other people can relate to, I need to be able to lean into that in some capacity. So I don't necessarily think of myself even as a sensitive person or think of that side of me, but I know that it's there and that it's something that allows me to see the world in a certain way where I'm able to recognize things that maybe other people wouldn't, and to be able to create a relatable example of that through some type of art.
If only there was someone I could ask for their opinion, someone who knows you really well, who could offer an outside perspective. Oh, Kristen,
how convenient.
What do you think about him as a sensitive? Is he a sensitive man?
He is a gentle, kind, tender soul. And I know as a Cape Breton man, maybe that isn't how you would describe yourself.
I won't use an umbrella, though.
Yeah, Mike won't even use an umbrella outside because that's somehow not tough. Like, he'd sooner be soaked to the bone.
But... umbrellas are for sissies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, you know.
Yeah, right. Because she's married to a Cape Breton man, too, so she gets it. But
they get wet a lot. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I find the longer we're together, the more comfortable you are with tapping into that side of yourself, which probably isn't a surprising thing to hear, and certainly not to those who've been married for a lot of years. But the first few years of our marriage, it really took work to, like, establish the basics of emotion and communication. But you
were like his coach?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's fair.
Dragging that's him kicking and screaming into emotions.
It's okay to talk about these things. Yeah. And I think the more you realize that this was a safe conversation to have, there were no negative consequences, it actually felt really good to you after a while to talk about things that may have been hard in the past.
Yeah.
Mike, not to ask you to diss any past relationships, but...
I'm okay with that. How
did Kristen showing up in your life change your way of being in a relationship?
Well, I think, learning to communicate's probably one of the most important things, because that's the glue that holds everything together, is being able to go through anything and converse about it and say how it made you feel and move on and learn from it, and good and bad. And I think just having someone who was already a pretty good communicator herself, I realized that I had to get better in that department myself, and just to grow as a human is really important. And I don't want to be the same as I was when I was 20 years old, and or when I was 30, or when I'm 50, I don't want to be the same as when I'm 40. And we both had to learn in different ways, obviously different things, and to live together under the same roof and share our work together, create projects together. We have to very much be on the same page. There's so much we do together. So if we're not on the same page, it will fall apart. And the key to all that, in my eyes, is being able to communicate. And I wasn't good at that at all. So I still don't think I'm great. Like,
you are.
I'm learning. Like, that's again the point of life. We see what we need to improve on, and we work at it, and we get better. And yeah, I'll never be the best communicator in the world. It's even something like I've been doing forever, like playing guitar or playing live shows. Of course, I still need to work on that. Like, there's endless growth that can happen in any area of your life. But yeah, to take it back to the start, yeah, just being able to communicate is what allows us to thrive as a couple together. And I think just at the point in my life, like when we got married and got together, you realize, okay, I'm not a irresponsible 20-year-old anymore. So I have to step up my game in some capacity.
Okay, so what was the very first thing that attracted you to Kristen?
Her smile.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
There's a lot of life energy, just positivity just coming off her. And yeah, this the story of how we met. She booked our band last minute to play at a fundraiser because we would play for free.
I was going to say for and, free. It was 2 days beforehand, wasn't it? Then when she reached out?
Yeah. And it was February 16th. And it was the coldest day of the year, I remember. And I remember walking into the venue where it was happening, and I had a guitar in each hand, and I had walked for, I don't know, a good distance. So if you don't have a free hand, like, my tears are rolling down my face, like, so it's so cold out, and a little bit of snot dripping down.
You're pretty wet by the time you arrived.
I remember walking in with two guitars.
A real catch.
And my face is just red because it's minus 36 out. And, you know, I walked in and she was there, obviously had been inside for a while, did not look like the state I was in.
No snot, no tears.
I had the upper hand, didn't I?
Her hair probably looked good.
Yeah. And she was the first person I met, and she just had this warm smile that welcomed me into that space and to her life. And just like when you meet anyone, like, obviously you have a reaction in some way to their energy or what it is they're putting off. And she was putting off a friendly vibe that I just felt very at ease around, I guess. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing early on, just how at ease we could be, how we could be ourselves. And in a lot of relationships, I feel like people don't get to be their true selves, where they can just exist as the way they're supposed to. And I think we early on found out how to do that. And we're not perfect at it. Like, I'll still, whatever, if you were gone for a few days and I just felt like doing nothing, I would still, oh shit, Kristen's coming, I better make sure the house is clean. Like,
that's just like, smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But. So, Mike, now my question is, Kristen, sorry, you're just sitting on the shelf. Yeah.
I'm happy to hear his answers.
I know. So. I want to fast forward. How many years ago was that when you walked through that door all snotty and handsome?
12 or 13?
Yeah,
13.
Mm-hmm.
13. So, fast forward. Yeah. To now,
yeah.
What is the number one thing you love about Kristen?
I think it's that the same thing, just being able to just be ourselves together and to grow together and understand each other. Like, we obviously, after this amount of time, understand what each of us care about and what makes us happy and what makes us sad. And so we do more of the things that make each of us happy and as little of the things that bring us in the negative direction. So I think just being able to exist as the person that I want to exist at, if I was just on my own, the person that I would be is the same as if I was with a wonderful gal.
That's a simple but beautiful recipe for a marriage, a good marriage. Now it's over to you, Blondie. Hi, friends of Mike and Kristen. My name is Nancy Regan, and it's a pleasure and privilege to be a sponsor of this podcast because I love the way these two creators show up. I spent a big chunk of my life on TV, projecting an air of confidence to an audience of more than 250,000 people. The spotlight lit me up, but the truth is, for most of that time, I didn't feel my own light. I was wearing a social mask to show the world I had it all together, even when I felt close to falling apart. The fear of failure haunted me because I didn't want anyone to know the secret I harbored, that I was not enough. Not smart enough, not talented enough, just not enough. The good news is I've left that lens behind. I traded in my inner imposter for a life of liberating authenticity. It hasn't been an easy path, but man, is it worth it. I share my story with a whopping dose of vulnerability in my book, From Showing Off to Showing Up. As I see it, showing off is living a life according to the expectations of others, craving approval. Showing up is, here I am, take me or leave me. And the beautiful, gratifying, and deeply comforting result is that I've heard from hundreds of readers who say they see themselves in my story. If something about this resonates with you, come along for the journey. From Showing Off to Showing Up is available in paperback, ebook, and now audiobook, read by me, of course. I promise I'll show up. Will you?
What was your first reaction when you saw that hunka burning love walking the door 13 years ago?
6'4", snotty faced. I was relieved that somebody came to my rescue under the circumstances. So that was an exceptional first impression to have made. Mm-hmm. I used to say that Mike was my knight in shining armor, really, from that moment. I was teased in the early days of us dating because he was so different from this typical man that I had dated a million times before him. Yeah. I had all the offers of things that we were taught we were supposed to want to pursue in a partner. I loved about Mike that he was so completely different. He was funny. He was very quirky. He didn't own a cell phone. I couldn't even text him. We had to write to one another for a few months. I would text his bandmate, Bruce, trying to flirt through him to Mike.
Telegram.
Yeah, like, can you tell Mike this? And he was probably horrified to have to do that for us. But, and he was hitchhiking back and forth between Halifax and Cape Breton, and my friends would tease me that I was dating this homeless guy and what was I thinking. And I think it was their second or third date, he took me down the rabbit hole of all of his hilarious YouTube videos. Like, everything was very different. All of our dates were different. We went hunting for night crawlers one night. This was his big idea, like looking for worms on the sidewalk. But I got such a kick out of that. Like, this guy thinks, and it worked. Like,
he thinks this is a date.
But I love that this is so much more exciting than going for dinner or going to a movie that, I had done with every other guy beforehand. So it was the part about him that my girlfriends kind of tee-heed about that was my favorite.
That's great. That's why we called, when you were my guests on the Canadian Love Map podcast, we called the episode Off the Beaten Path. Mm. And that's what I'm hearing you describe right now. And I think, Mike, that's an interesting strategic way to test if a partner is really one to ride the river with. Mm-hmm. Because if you take her out worm hunting or whatever those are, and she's like a gamer and not in the, oh, yeah, sure, with my nails all done and pretending to like it. Mm-hmm. You know, you could tell that she was literally a gamer. That's like, okay, check. Thank you. Well,
yeah, I've always liked to do just random fun things for the moment. And I can't remember how that idea came up. I think it was just it had just rained or something. And I don't know. I think
that's when the juiciest worms come out.
I think it probably just
I'm going to impress her with these big worms.
It probably just came up in conversation randomly. Like, oh, yeah, the best night crawlers are out at this time of year, right after it was probably the perfect weather where at some point in my life in the past, I had gone looking for night crawlers and it was just a spur of the moment thing. But it was fun.
Do you use flashlights for this endeavor?
Yes, it's much easier.
And under the glow of the street lamps, we were downtown at that point in our lives and had that illuminate.
I pictured you in the forest under the moonlight only. I thought to be a really pure night crawler hunter, you'd have to just use moonlight.
That would be romantic.
I'd like to partake in one of those evenings. I think we should try it sometime under a full moon.
It's not we have to wait till the seasons change a little bit warmer, but late May or something, early June when it warms up enough and a little light rainfall has come down.
You want dating advice?
Bring it on. Yeah. I'm going to get a text and I'm going to hop in my car, maybe my husband's truck, and just zoom right out here. I'm ready. I just don't want to touch them. Okay. Kristen, what is it, fast forwarding, what is it you love most about Mike now?
Mike really makes me feel like I'm at home. And I think we spend a lot of time away from home that has become even more important to me. Be it at a party or when we're traveling or really any social environment, a show, even knowing he's in the room makes me feel more comfortable. Even if he's not beside me, knowing he's there makes me feel just, yes, more at ease and present and just happy that you're there.
Grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you're both very grounded, but I can see that. And I'm excited about how much you're traveling. Like March, bonjour, you've got a big March coming up.
We are hitting the road. At the time that this episode will air, we're actually leaving on an airplane today.
Yeah.
Spending a couple of days in New York. It just is our favorite city, and we managed to loop that into our travel plans. And then we're down to Austin, Texas for South by Southwest, which has been a bucket list item for me, at least, or festival. There's so much talent that's going to be at this week-long festival that it just blows our minds. We're going down to learn about podcasting, but we know we'll come back just as better humans being exposed to all of this.
Yeah. I want to seriously, you know, I know this is a cliche, I want to crawl into your suitcase or carry your suitcases.
Well, we only pack carry-on when we travel, so.
I'll ride on your back.
Yeah.
Piggyback, please.
Yeah.
This is our child. Yes, she looks older than us, but it's a Benjamin Button sort of thing.
Yeah. They'd go for that at Air Canada, I think. Yeah.
Betty Button.
Yeah.
I'm their BB.
Yeah, baby BB.
No, South by Southwest sounds amazing. And I feel like a gathering like that, where there's so many people showing up, as I say, you know, living authentic lives and giving back and making the world a more interesting place, that is going to crack your hearts and your heads open in terms of creativity and what's possible.
It's kind of the focal point of ideas, this gathering of like-minded people who are all trying to make the world a better place or trying to advance technology or whatever it may be. It's just this gathering. 100,000 people are there for it, which is wild to think of. And there's some amazing speakers, and it'll be probably fairly overwhelming, because anytime you step into something brand new that you don't know any of the variables, even just like we go to the hotel, which conference rooms are which, and you're just trying to figure out all these little things. But that's part of the exciting part as well, just stepping into something brand new and figuring out which way to go. But yeah, well,
it's an adventure.
We're going to cross paths with so many like-minded people. And a big thing when we were in Orlando, where I got this shirt.
Woo!
Big shark on it.
It's a lot of teeth.
The sharks have many teeth.
Three sets of teeth.
Wow. How many in total? We should look that up.
I just know they have three sets, but I don't know. Anyway, carry on.
When we were in Orlando for PodFest, we crossed paths with so many people, and we'd mentioned we were from Nova Scotia, and it became this thing where everyone had some connection to Nova Scotia, where it's like, oh yeah, I'm a big fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Sidney Crosby's from there, or... oh yeah, that's on my bucket list of places to go. And so it's Nova Scotia.
Loved Anne Murray.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you said, listen to our episode with Dale Murray.
Yeah.
Always a connection to your podcast.
Yeah. So it just kind of became a thing where, and then we wanted to become ambassadors for Nova Scotia. And then we were like bragging about, oh, you should come visit in the summer or any time of year. It's awesome all the time. But going to Austin, we kind of want to up that a little bit, and we want to just talk to people on the streets and ask them what they know about our province and the East Coast of Canada, and just try to be, I guess, ambassadors for this place that we do truly love here and feel supported and at home, and we want to kind of bring Nova Scotia there, but then get people's responses and how they react to what this place is to them. And yeah, we'll just roll with that.
Wow. I don't know if you know the designer, Veronica McIsaac.
Yes, I do.
Well, I think that you should have yourselves made a Nova Scotia tartan suit and dress or skirt or slacks.
Yeah.
That would be an honor.
Imagine having, because it would, it would be such a statement when you showed up anywhere. People would be like, okay, I want to. The interesting people would gravitate right to you. Yeah. Okay, what's with these two? What's this about?
Yeah, tell us the story.
It would be a great door opening. And I just want to see pictures of you.
Well, Veronica, we're coming to you next. You heard it here first.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great idea.
All right. So let's get, yeah, I'm going to nag you about that one a little bit. I actually suggested this to Kristen. I said, you know what? You should have somebody, it could be me, it doesn't have to be me, interview you two on your podcast, because everyone who listens to your podcast loves you already. And so give them a chance to just know more about you. And I asked when I came in today, you know, if this was a wrestling match, would there be any holds barred? And Mike looked a little twitchy, but Kristen said, no, it's all good. All good. Let's talk about sex Sundays.
I told you we were good friends.
He is blushing.
He's a little red.
Oh my God. I'm taking a picture. Mike.
I'm not blushing.
You're not blushing.
I'm waving. That's not what it's called. It's Mexican Super Bowl.
Oh yeah. Okay. What's it called again?
The Mexican Super Bowl.
I'm trying to take a video.
She's trying to record. Okay, one more time.
It's the Mexican Super Bowl.
Yes. Okay. I called it Sex Sunday.
That's the most interesting part about it in the storytelling that I shared with Nancy. So yes.
Oh my God.
Do you want to tell the birth story of Mexican Super Bowl?
Well, it goes back to the Super Bowl 2 years ago when we just wanted to have a fun celebration off the Super Bowl, and neither of us are huge football fans. I do follow sports, so I know a fair bit about every sport, I guess.
Everything's going to be funny about this answer.
I should have prefaced it by saying, I mean, Kristen told me this, and when I had already had the idea to interview you two, and I said, you know, do you think we could talk about that? Because I really am not just prying into your personal lives. I think legitimately there is something about this idea that is pure beauty, wisdom, and genius. I do. I just think so many relationships could benefit from hearing it. So I'm not just, you know, it's not like gratuitous violence. It's not like gratuitous curiosity about your sex lives.
But, hi, Dad.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, sir. Okay, go, Mike.
Yeah, no, we just wanted to celebrate this day that is a big day in the world. And it wasn't necessarily a big day to us because we had to look up who was in the Super Bowl kind of thing. And we said, let's make a big meal together. So we researched and decided we were going to make, I think it was,
no, enchiladas, like proper Mexican.
Yeah, yeah, we decided let's make some Mexican food, and yeah, enchiladas, like a whole spread, basically, and like, oh, it's going to be Mexican Super Bowl. It wasn't Mexican Super Bowl before we decided what the food was. So we said, okay, we're going to have food. We'll, we'll go out, do something fun before the game, and we drove to Peggy's Cove and just watched the waves crash or whatever it was. And then we watched the Super Bowl, and it was, I can't even remember who played. I think it was the Chiefs maybe. And I think they won 2 years ago. Yeah. And it was just like, oh, this is just a really, really fun day. Like, so Sundays kind of became this day where we just are able to do all these different things together, where we pick a meal that we make together. And we're in the kitchen cooking. We do something fun, like maybe we also get a dessert or whatever. And we just try to make Sunday this day where we can do as many things together as possible. And we call it Mexican Super Bowl every Sunday. So it's obviously the Super Bowl is not every Sunday. And we don't make Mexican food every Sunday. but it will always be Mexican Super Bowl.
You've somehow glazed over the key part of Nancy's question.
Oh, you can get into that.
Sexican, Mexican. Okay.
It's not the main part. It's just a part of it.
Okay.
It's
actually, that's legit. I love that. Yeah. So it's about being playful.
Yeah.
And how does that sort of bleed into the other realm, Kristen?
This,
how does it bleed into the bedroom?
I'm okay talking about this. I just want your consent that you are, and I will be discreet because Mike gets a little shy because he knows that our family listens to these episodes.
Oh, yes.
But I think it's
his
something.
His pupils are dilated.
It could be a helpful thing for other couples to think about doing because it's worked for us in so many different ways. So every Sunday we make a point to take a break from work and just be present with one another. It's as you've said, it's playful. We cook a meal together, usually something international. It doesn't have to be Mexican, but just
Greek's
a new
our
recipe.
Best.
Greek is our best.
Yeah.
But we also alternate something sexual that we choose. So one week I will choose what that thing looks like, and then Mike will choose the next Sunday, and we rotate in that way. And it's been a fun way to keep things fun and spicy and maybe try something that's outside the box. We've been together for 13 years, and this is a part of our marriage that is important to us. And I think even as a little kid, my mom would say, you know, sex and money are the things that couples often argue about the most. And I was like 8 and didn't really know what that meant. But now you can see how, of course, that happens after X number of years. And so this is something we've done for the last 2-3 years that has not only worked for us, but you look forward to being the one maybe as the decision maker. And that can be for either aspect, the meal or the sexy time. And yeah, it's really let us kind of use our imagination. We're artists, after all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike, is this killing you?
No, it's
this
all
conversation.
Good.
Yeah. I know it's taken showing up to new levels, but I can you understand why I think that is of value? It's not just titillating. I think it's of value for other people to hear.
Yeah, for sure. And it is something that's, again, I was trying to focus on that this is a full day of multiple things. It's just a day to be together and to celebrate us, and sometimes on Sundays we sit down and have like a check-in, we call it, and that's not always a good thing too, but it always ends up better in the end, just like talking like, oh, I feel like whatever, you're working too much and we're we're not getting time to spend with each other, whatever it may be, like we have that.
And is that built into every Sunday?
Often
sort of, yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't have a schedule. Like, this is marked off like this.
At 12:05,
yeah.
Mike is going to talk about anything that's pissed him off this week. Yeah. For 12 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And then by 6 p.m., it's Kristen's time now.
Yeah, so it's just these multiple things, and we might go for a hike in the woods, and we can talk. We often like to get two birds stone at once, as they say. So we'll go for a walk and maybe have a talk while we're walking. And we come up with a lot of creative ideas just out for walks. But sometimes, like on a Sunday, we don't want to be like walking for 2 hours and working essentially at the same time. We just want to enjoy nature and tell funny stories, whatever it may be. But yeah, Sundays are more just let's kind of step away from all the other things in our life and focus on what we have here and the things we're grateful for and the fact that we can go pick up groceries around the corner and make any meal we want in the world. Like that we live in a beautiful place and we have the ocean near us. We have hiking trails. We can explore that. We can go over to the basketball court and take a few shots together just and have a laugh at what we've become in our 40s. But yeah, we just try to just celebrate each other and us as a team. Like we've done a lot and accomplished a lot, and still growing, still lots to do, lots of places to go, and lots of ideas to work on, and that haven't even come up yet. But we kind of just want to take that day as a day to recognize what we have and what we've become and what we can be even.
I love that, especially because things are changing and you're growing together so much, to take a moment to say, let's just be in this moment and really celebrate what we have right now instead of always looking ahead.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious, when you are creative for your work, is it, how does that even factor in? If you are taking Sunday off work, well, you're both creative beings. You go out into nature, you're both going to be sparking ideas all the time, I assume.
We enjoy that, though.
Yeah, our minds are always lit up. We often almost laugh about how we're always working. Fortunately, we like working enough that it doesn't feel that way. This actually came up recently, this idea of even the word work sounds negative.
Yes.
But when you love the work you're doing, it can kind of be interchanged.
Play.
We've been so intentional about the design of our lifestyle that building in that day a week is part of the formula for having a higher output of creativity for those other 6 days. Mm-hmm. It's not always about stepping away from something. It rather is part of this rhythm that is part of the grander something. So it's important to us, especially as creative people whose minds are churning all the time, to just say, let's just cook together. And this can be the thing today, or go for the walk together. And if strategy comes up, which it often does, about projects mm-hmm. upcoming, that's okay. But at least you're in a different environment. You're using a little bit of a different mindset or perspective sometimes when we're out doing that.
This could be your next book. Mike and Kristen, The Rhythm Method.
Mexican Super Bowl.
The Rhythm Method might be more universal.
No.
Mexican Super Bowl is a good subtitle.
Yeah.
Because it makes you go, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Usually the subtitle is supposed to be the defining factor. Like this is what tells people what it's about. But yeah, I like the mystery behind it.
What have you learned from your guests on this podcast? I know you feel like I feel so deeply grateful for the fact that I walked in here for my episode having never met either of you in person, and I left, got off the couch, left as your friends. And we've taken that to new heights, and I just am so really appreciative of that. And you're the kind of people I want to hang out with. You know, I want to be with people who are not judgmental. They lean into curiosity rather than judgment, and are ready for fun and want to play and be present instead of, you know, too often we meet people and we're chatting with them at a cocktail party or whatever, and there's just a glaze over their eyes, and you can see this whole internal dialogue happening, and you think, hello, I'm right here. Can we have a connection? But you can't connect authentically with someone else unless they are authentic and showing themselves. So a lot of your guests have done that, and I'd love to know, that's my very long fucking question, what have you learned most from your guests, would you say?
You asked that question, I immediately put my hand to my heart because it's a very emotional thing to reflect on, actually. We started this podcast with a different intention than where it's led us, initially thinking this would be a good platform to give a bit of explanation to all the projects Mike and I were doing. So let's do one more thing about me is kind of how it started. And we, after our very first guest, realized how important it was to both our listeners, but probably, again, selfishly, more so to us. The wisdom, the experiences that people have shared, the personal stories have been so life-changing. This is my favorite creative project I have ever pursued. The diversity in people's creative approaches to their work has given me permission to realize there's no right or wrong way of going about this life.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong way of being an artist. I would say almost everyone we've had in this room has become a friend, someone mm-hmm. that we connect with on the regular. Nancy, you are the perfect example. You were someone we were nervous to meet, and now we have sleepovers and hilarious. Stretch on the floor together at dinner parties instead of glazing over.
Exactly. Now you know she's actually a total dork.
She's so
we
cool.
Can hang out and have fun.
Yes. Yeah. And that vulnerability that you're talking about that you felt comfortable experiencing while you were here with us is the highest compliment.
Mm. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, everybody's the same. Like we're all just humans trying to figure out how to be the best versions of ourselves. And if you're at the start of your career or you've achieved massive success, we're just figuring things out. And it's one day at a time for a lot of people. And we learn something from every single guest, whether they're 9 years old or 100, which we've actually had a 9 year old and a 100 year old on here. So I think both of us are very curious people, like you said, and we're open books, and we want to learn, and we want to take away as much as we possibly can from getting to know people. So for us, we like to just show up and listen and try to be present and take it all in and see what from each conversation resonates with us and how we can move forward with that knowledge and in just a better way for our own lives. And it could be the simplest thing, or it could be this grand theme of questioning your existence. But all in all, like there's something to learn from everybody.
We've also had a number of our guests connect with one another
without
our interjection. Mm-hmm. So, for example, our friend Steph has reached, Steph McNamara, who I'm in Curiosity Club with, that you've met, Nancy. She's reached out to a handful of our guests as photography clients. So she's gone and done photos for them for a press release or an album cover. And that has nothing to do with us. But she was introduced to these people through listening to the podcast.
It's a community.
It's a total, it's such a blessing.
Mm. So, Mike, something you said made me realize that it really is so true that when we are authentically ourselves with others and we make that strong connection, we receive the gift of understanding through seeing their authentic selves that we are all in this together. Like we are all the same. And my greatest experience with my book has had nothing to do with its commercial success, but the hundreds of people who have reached out to me saying almost the exact same thing. And it I can't talk about it without being emotional because people say, it's like you looked inside my head and you're telling my story. And some say, look, we've led completely different lives, like polar opposite. I'm thinking about a note I read the other day. She said, I grew up in poverty with abuse, and yet I read your story and it's like you're telling my story. And I can't believe that you felt the same way that I did. And I'm talking about imposter syndrome and, you know, perfectionism and being afraid for people to see me make mistakes because I had these deep self-limiting beliefs that I was not enough and I was fooling the whole world. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the most gratifying thing about that, and I think it's true of this project for you, is that you just connect to everybody's humanity, and there's comfort in that because it solidifies you in your own journey to really be yourself and not worry about performance and getting the approval of others, but really just being committed to showing up. And I overuse that phrase, but you know, my daughter even uses the phrase now, show-uppy, like to describe people. She'll say, oh, well, she's a little show-offy, but oh, she's show-uppy. Mm. And that's a good thing. Like, good. She really shows up. So I think I just want to say thank you so much. I love listening to your podcast as much as I love just being around you in person, because there's something when you are with other people who are really willing to let down the guard, let down the pretense. It is just fun and liberating and relaxing. And in our anxiety producing world, you know, when you always feel you've got to have different guard up for certain people or different mask on, that's not relaxing. And so I just feel like you're the perfect humans for a post-COVID world where we've, you know, something really radically changed during that whole lockdown period. And I think a lot of people came out of it. I can't talk anymore. What did you put in my sparkling water?
Just cocaine.
Oh, great. Okay.
Just like what you asked for. There's nothing else.
You're going to have to drive me home in that truck. No, I just think that so many people realized, oh, there's so much more to life than just going to work every day. Everybody had to stop. And a lot of people made a choice during that time, or maybe it just happened, to say, I need to live in a new way. What is the future going to hold for you two? If you could absolutely write your future as a movie, and you could, and you should probably, what would it be?
Do you want to go first on that one?
I think we have all the things we're working on and projects that we want to see grow. And there's... I guess we have lots of visions of kind of how we want it to end up, but we don't know exactly the path that maybe will take us there, because we do so many things. We don't know which one will take us to the end result, but we like being away for periods of the winter, and we're doing that this year by going on these podcast conferences. And we've had a goal for a long time to be able to go to warmer places in the winter, be able to create while we're away. And this winter is the first time when we've been able to kind of merge these things we truly care about, where we're working and we're away and we're learning and we're still growing, and it's slowly getting to that point. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have this podcast which can take us places. We have Kristen's art career, all the things she's working on, my music, our writing, and I have a number of books that I want to get out to the world sooner than later, and all these things together, we're trying to grow slowly at the same time, and maybe we'll get to a point where we're like, okay, we really have to put all our energy on this, and this will allow us to get to this point. And we're already at a great point right now, like, not that we need this to be happy or anything, but we've our whole lives we tried to set up our life the way we want it, and there's a few little shifts that we want to have happen where, yeah, we can go away for a certain amount of time, we don't have to grind as much as we do at times, where it's kind of a 24/7 thing. So getting back to more the Mexican Super Bowl, like doing more of that, and also really just focusing on what makes sense to us.
You know, there are two things that come to me when you say that. One, it's like you're in the sweet spot of life. I'm a tennis player, and there's nothing better than that feeling of hitting the ball right in the sweet spot, a really good shot. And the other thing is that I see what you just described as this beautiful garden. You're growing all these different creative projects. And sometimes, you know, one plant is going to need more of your attention. Mm-hmm. Another is going to wither a little bit. And then you decide, do we put the effort into that or do we let that one go? Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you get to a point with your garden where you've done such a good job taking care of it, you can go away for a week.
Mm.
Yeah. Let's hope our actual garden isn't reflective of this metaphor. But yes, it often feels that way, that you're kind of bouncing around and trying to sort out where to invest your energy. I'm reminded with your question, Nancy, of our good friend Blanche Israel, who's just been appointed the new CEO of the ECMAs. It's a huge role, and she's incredibly talented and capable, and she hosted a party the other night that we were at, and gave a bit of a speech, so to speak. And she made the observation that she feels, stepping into this role, that she feels most like herself than ever before. Mm-hmm. And that resonated so much. It brought me to tears watching her because I see in her that being so true, but also feeling that way finally in middle age about that in myself and how much work we've put into designing this life and being patient with it. There are a lot of ups and downs in trying to pursue what we're doing. Mike is always the first person to lift me up and remind me that we got this and you're not alone. And when we look into the future, I think it's important to have goals and maybe a vision. And we've explored some of that, but it's really about how we want to feel. And I think having this sense of freedom and how we want to continue to love one another and share adventure and be open-minded to have new experiences. I think as long as we're doing that, wherever we end up, whatever our house looks like, whatever my garden looks like, those are the priorities that we've maintained.
Okay, now I've got my hand on my heart.
You said it better than me, Kristen.
Holy.
Same thing.
Mic drop.
Yeah, same ideas.
I don't know if high fives are still cool, but high five, sister.
We're not cool, so it's fine.
Yeah. That's a beautiful expression. I think I might even, I have it in a poem somewhere. I am more myself than ever. Mm. And that's what we're all, you know, Michelle Obama's book is called Becoming. And I thought of that a couple times when you were talking about the way you're growing and how life changes and so on. And we're all ideally becoming throughout our lives. We should always continue to strive to just keep becoming. Yes. And I'm becoming more myself than ever.
Yeah.
And I see that in you two. And you are kindred spirits. I'm so proud to call you friends. And I will sit my big butt on this couch anytime you ask me. So thank you. I don't know how we're going to work in the fact that I was a sponsor of this episode too.
You're going to hear a lot of Nancy today. You lucky folks.
Nancy 24/7. I apologize,
but for us, Nancy, we started this pod, we're entering year three. This is part of the reason that we wanted to have this special episode today, was to reflect on where we've come and where we're going. The fact that you, not only is Nancy Regan in our house right now interviewing us, like, take a minute just to think about
that.
Don't
get confused. She says it like it's Ronald Reagan's wife or something.
It's incredible. And you, Nancy, have become not only a wonderful friend, you're so positive and supportive. You're a role model and a mentor. You're dorky like we are,
Yahoo!
Which we can say that now. I can wear my pajamas around you. I can, you know,
I prefer you in your pajamas.
Yeah, like it's just, we're there now. We're at that level. And what a thing to have happened from sitting down and having conversations with people. It's such a gift.
Open the door, let down your guard. You never know what'll happen. Yeah. And the final thing I would like to say is that when I was here my first time on the couch, I asked the name of the lion head on the... it is a fake lion head, I'm pretty sure,
yes.
On the wall. And you said he didn't have a name, so I told you he had to, and his name is Lawrence, Larry for short. Mm-hmm. I would like to play, I always think if I hadn't gone into TV, I would have loved to have been a psychologist. So here's my question. How does Larry the lion represent your relationship? Who would like to go first?
Larry, lions are strong. They are the kings of the jungle, or the Sahara, the African continent. They are the kings.
The zoo.
The zoos are not really the kings. They're kind of sad in the zoo, actually. But
we digress. Yes.
Lions in the wild are just a powerful creature that they know how to live their life. They are in charge. They do what they want. They create the life that they feel fits for them, and they may have to kill a few other creatures along the way. And that's Kristen. Kristen is intense when she's out, in her art career.
You're not wrong.
But yeah, I just feel like lions feel like they're unstoppable. And I feel like we kind of feel that way ourselves.
Wow. I love that.
I see this lion in particular because it's a stuffed, like you would imagine a stuffed animal, just the head of a lion. It's big. It's wearing sunglasses and a hat, and it's hung front and center in our studio. And what I love about that is that there probably aren't a lot of people whose homes you would enter that would dare hang this on their wall as decor. And I feel like this represents us so well. We live our lives completely outside the box. We're not afraid to put stuffed animals on our walls instead of pictures. And the fact that it was in one of your music videos that we worked on together as well, it ties into that creativity.
Yeah, and just the sense of fun that this stuffed animal's head has a captain's hat on it and sunglasses and just a little quirky smile.
Yeah.
And the hair is not perfect. It's a little matted. Mm-hmm. It looks more like Mike's hair than Kristen's.
Well, it's the color of Kristen's.
I cut Mike's hair, so that's probably why it's so ratty at times.
Not ratty.
Wait a second. That's where the relationship fell apart. Yeah. It was during that episode that Nancy hosted, and then she got them arguing at the end. And let's rewind that part and just say, thank you guys. I really have loved every minute of this. I have loved every minute of knowing you, and I can't wait to see what you do in the future. But I also can't wait to see what fun we're going to have in the future, because you are stuck with me now.
Nancy has our house favorited in the Google Maps app in her phone.
I said, so you're in trouble.
She's coming over.
I've stored it so I can, because I would never get here by myself. If you get really huge and famous, this is the perfect place. Nobody's ever going to find you.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like Narnia.
We're honored to have you here, Nancy, have you as a friend, and just be, you're an amazing person who inspires us and makes us just be better people. And like we said earlier, we learn from all our guests. We've learned a whole heck of a lot from you. So
thanks for
showing up and being who you are and giving people the opportunity to learn from someone such as so amazing as yourself.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Quite a guy, huh?
Now I've just got to go cry in the other room.
Yeah, we're all touching. A little blushy.
I know. Blushy. And he says he's not a sensitive man. Yeah, well, gentle Jesus.
I don't wear an umbrella, so or use one.
It's all about balance, huh?
I'm going to get you one of those little hats that has an umbrella built in. Yeah. Just
you asked for masculine.
Oh, my God. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Cheers,
buddy.
Everyone.
Cheers.
Okay, friends, thanks again for not only joining us this Wednesday, but every Wednesday for the past 2 years. We're excited to kick off year 3 and continue down the road with these beautiful guests in our lives.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, folks, and we appreciate each and every one of you. And yeah, just keep writing, telling us what you like about the show. Send suggestions for thoughts and things if you have some quotes in mind that may fit the bill or you want us to discuss. It's been a fun little segment, and we really like doing that.
I love it. Can't wait to keep going. Thanks so much, everyone, for being here.
Okay, buds. Talk soon.